All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, the podcast that stars the greatest sage of Tampa Bay sports, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're so proud to have Ed Morse and the great quality at Ed Morse, more than 70-plus years of Ed Morse dealerships throughout Florida, great family-owned business. I buy my vehicles there at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You're going to get that tremendous service. They are Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com and at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. All the new offers are up and ready for September. The great savings continue at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. I'm looking now at a made-to-move 2017 clearance event, including the 2017 XT5 Standard ultra-low mileage lease for well-qualified lessees, $339 per month. Fantastic offer. All the details on the website and by contacting Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Looks like the weather might hold out, Ira, for Saturday. Everybody can get out and test drive, get some service done. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Also, you want to head to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Start your search there. You know, we usually give details on the offers, but they just came out. And so it's really a great time to really go look at all the offers. Get that started at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. My favorite right now, 2017 CTS or 2017 ATS sedan. I'm looking at the ATS sedan, $299 a month with zero down. Fantastic time to buy a vehicle, as most of you know. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy Victory Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, television star, internet star. I'm not going to call you a porn star, Ira. Ira Kaufman, how are you today, Sage?
I'm doing well. My wife called me about a half an hour after that pregame show on Fox 13. She goes, "You want the good news or the bad news?" I said, "Well, give me the good news." "Well, you didn't have any lint on your jacket. Your collar looked fine. You smiled a lot. You looked right into the lens. Good job. What's the bad news?" "Well, they're calling your segment Kaufman's Corner. They misspelled Kaufman. They got two F's going on. They must think it's the tire company." So I did tell Scott Smith about it, and he said it has been duly taken care of. I also only got about 3 minutes of airtime over there, Isbitz, in the hot sun. By the time I got back in the press box, I was a puddle. But I hope that our listeners thought it was a decent segment. And I said the Buck defense would show up, and boy, they showed up.
They sure did. I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeCamper. We're JoeBucksFan.com. The voices are usually here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. If you're just tuning in for the first time, if you're just finding JoeBucksFan.com, just coming back to the website, just coming back to the podcast, of course, you can't just find us here at Joe Bucks Fan. You can get us on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, all kinds of places, Ira. You show up all over town. And, of course, we're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, as we just heard. All the great offers, visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
You know, Steve, we got competition. We're facing other podcasts all over town, yet the Joe Bucks brand continues to grow exponentially. What's that say about this website, Isbitz?
I don't know. Ira, people like listening to you, and I think it's more me and Lee, but it's your name on the podcast, so we got to give you some credit.
You got the commish, too. You got the commish going. You Todd Wright. You got people, you know, working.
Yeah, we got a lot of great podcasts going. The Scuttlebucks, Bobby Fenton with the Free Stretch. Pretty cool.
Rock Riley.
Still another surprise podcast coming shortly.
Shortly.
But here's what we do not have, Ira. We're sitting here in a fine establishment called Hooters in Port Richey. And we're watching, there's no audio, but we're watching Channel 8 News. We don't have Avery Cotton.
That's a problem.
Yes.
That's a problem.
I don't know who that is, but I will do some research.
Yes.
Absolutely do some research. All right, Ira. Look,
Let's put it this way. She's a former Auburn cheerleader. That'll give you a hint.
That's interesting. Hopefully not 1972 or 19...
No. This century.
Ira, it's a funny story. We used to work with a guy a long time ago. I'm not going to out him on the podcast. We once went to Hooters in Clearwater, which is the original Hooters location, and we took him out to lunch there, and he looked around. This wasn't too many years ago, and he looks around. He's like, I see, unfortunately, they have too many of the original Hooters waitresses.
I think I know who you're talking about.
So that I always think of that because it was just funny.
That's right. A great, wasn't that a Rodney Dangerfield line? He went up to some lady, I was like 70 years old, and goes, hey, lady, you must have been something when they invented electricity.
that sounds like a Rodney line.
May I say that is not the case here at Hooters of Port Richey and at any Hooters that I've been to recently. So there you go.
There is talent on the menu and off the menu. I got it.
All right, Ira. People tune in to this great podcast for your sage wisdom, for your sage insight. Some of them even go to our website for your sage picks of the week every Friday, where you go over the NFL and pick against the spread. But I'm going to ask you this. Bucks obviously dominated yesterday. 29-7 win. We read your takeaways, but first I'm going to hit you with the defense. How good was the Bucks defense? Where do you stand?
Well, I would say by the end of the season, the Bears are going to be one of the best, better rushing teams in this league. They ran the ball very well last year with Jordan Howard. They ran the ball very well on opening week against a pretty good Atlanta defense. So I don't want to take away anything from Mike Smith's group. Lee, the speed, especially in the linebacker position, really jumped out at you yesterday. They kept trying wide runs, Steve. Every time I looked up, it was 2nd and 13. A lot of tackles for losses yesterday. Levante, Quan Alexander, Beckwith got his hands in there. T.J. Ward made a play on a pitch sweep. It's very hard to run wide on this team. That's just the way it is. It's starting to remind me now, they're not there yet. But it's starting to remind me, you know, those 99, 2001, 2002 Bucks, they're getting there. The guy that I looked on a stat sheet that jumped out at me a little bit was Swaggy Baker. Zero tackles, but McCoy thought he was effective. I asked McCoy after the game. He thought Baker was effective, maybe as a pass rusher. McCoy, I thought, was outstanding, as usual. Buck defense gets an A+. And, look, they're playing Mike Glennon. I understand the Bears are not a good team, and the Bears had a bad day. They didn't play well. But that Buck defense, if they play that way for most of the season, this is going to be a formidable team, Lee.
Well, the linebacker core was unreal yesterday. And I talked to T.J. Ward in the locker room, and I asked him, you know, why did the defense play so well? He immediately cited the front line. He didn't say Swaggy, but he said Ayers, Golston, obviously McCoy. Interestingly, he didn't say Swaggy, but what he did say was the front line was clogging up the running lanes and allowing the linebackers to roam freely. We saw what those guys did, linebackers. Holy cow, Ira, I'm not trying, you know, week one overreaction. It was week one for the Bucks. I'm trying not to do a week one overreaction because that's so easy to do. But when's the last time an entire linebacker unit for the Bucks potentially could be this strong? Granted, Nickerson and Brooks, formidable, dynamic duo, very formidable. But three guys, this is something, man. Beckwith, did I not predict last week on your podcast, Ira, that Beckwith was going to have a good day because they would run at him because he's a rookie?
Yeah.
And he had a good day. These guys stay healthy. Look out, man.
Now, Steve, speaking of staying healthy, the concerns for Buck fans going forward this week are Levante David and Quan Alexander. I think I'm a little more concerned about Levante David.
Yes.
After the game, he was in pain. And I think it went beyond cramps. I think the original diagnosis was cramps. When I walked up to him, he goes, my foot. It's my foot. He didn't say cramps. Quan Alexander, I got more confidence in. He was all smiles afterwards. Didn't look like a guy with a hamstring problem that's going to keep him out. And we know that hamstrings are very fickle. Lee, that could be a month or 6 weeks.
Sure.
God forbid. I believe Pamphile went out for a couple of series. People thought Pamphile was hurt. Evan Smith did a nice job. Pamphile went back in, so I think he's fine. The Bucks are very healthy, Steve. Very, very healthy going into Minnesota, which to me is basically an average team, a decent team, not a bad team. I think the strength of the Vikings is defense. We'll talk about it more in the Thursday podcast. But their offense doesn't scare anybody. Dalvin Cook's off to a good start.
Case Keenum is back.
We don't know about
that. Should scare Bucks fans.
Stephon Diggs is a decent receiver.
Sure.
Decent receiver.
Cook.
The Bucks played a good game, Steve, with a lot of help from the Bears, granted. But how many Buck games are over at the half? That game was over before the half. and Dirk Koetter was breathing easy. What I love, and I mentioned it in my Sunday and mentioned it again in the Monday column, I love that they're keeping their foot on the gas, Mike Smith and Koetter. Mm-hmm. I watched Koetter come off the field. Steve, you look like you lost 30-6. I like that. No jubilation from Koetter. I talked to Smith in the locker room Sunday night. He's all pissed off. Ah, the hell can we give up a touchdown? I wanted that shutout. I like that. So, you know, I like Ali Marpet saying I got to play a lot better than that. I like other Buck players saying we didn't have our best day today. It's confidence, but it's not cockiness. And we know what happened last year, Steve, with that infamous visit to Arizona. And I think you were the guy that got those quotes that said, I think we might have been overconfident.
Yeah, I mean, look, Koetter is the play caller, and the Bucs scored 3 points in the second half against a beaten, tired team. Now, that's not good. That's not how they draw it up. You know, just because Ryan Fitzpatrick went in late in the game doesn't mean they're supposed to roll over. Jameis was there for a quarter and a half, no touchdowns against, again, a beaten-down team in the heat. So lots for the Bucs to work on, which is what's so exciting when you win 29-7 and your coaches walk off pissed off, which is the point that you're making. But let me go back to the defense, Ira. Mike Glennon drops back to pass 45 times. The Bucs drop him once. That's brutal. You can't do that. I don't care who the quarterback is. You got to take him down more than once.
Especially a statue like that.
And then throw in the fact that Glennon is all the things we know, the statue, immobile, throw in any anything you want.
I will say this, Steve, and
so
I think you'd agree.
What's going on there? The consistency was terrible.
Well, I understand. But, Lee, part of Chicago's game plan, and I think a big part of it was, Glennon, get that ball out quickly. Quickly. Short little passes before McCoy and Noah Spence can get there. And I think Glennon was fairly successful in that, although he threw a couple of pigeons up there. Right to McClain. He short-armed that ball. You know, McClain's off the race.
Ira, come on. This is not acceptable on your podcast.
Steve, I thought the pressure was okay. What? I thought McCoy had a lot of pressures.
What quarterback isn't told get the ball out quickly? That's always the game plan. That's always the game plan.
You remember any deep passes from Mike Glennon? I mean, did he try anything downfield?
No, which is terrible. The Bears did that 2 weeks in a row. They can't throw downfield.
By the way, speaking of the Bears, and I can't remember who their offensive coordinator is, Lee, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Very forgettable, isn't it?
But I don't believe I am. Glennon has now thrown 85 balls in the first 2 weeks. The Bears, gentlemen, Steve, that is a losing formula for a lot of teams, especially for the Chicago Bears. Granted, they didn't run the ball a lick against the Bucs, but they ran well against Atlanta, and I think they only ran 19 times against Atlanta. So they're way out of whack. And you can't have Mike Glennon throwing 45 balls against the Bucs. It's not going to work. Absolutely not going to work.
I'll say this about the defense, and I wrote about this Monday on JoeBucksFan.com. I just did a little research Sunday night. The Super Bowl winning Bucs, only one game that they allow a rushing attack for 20 or less yards. One game. That whole 2002 season. That was a Super Bowl against the Raiders, and the Raiders had 19 yards. 1999 Bucs, pretty strong defense. I'm just going off the top of my head, I think the least amount of yards they gave up on the ground in a game was like 38 yards.
20 yards is extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Especially with those running backs.
Oh, yeah, and that speaks to my point, Ira. My point is, if the team runs 20 yards and they're in third and long all day long, why? Because they ran for 20 yards, you got to be able to do better on third down. Bucs were only 50%, the Bears were 50%
right.
On third down.
You're
Bucs
right.
Couldn't get to the passer.
And they led the league in third down defense last year.
Yeah, so something was a little off there. I don't know. But I think overall, though, Ira, your big picture, your broad brush, get out your thinking cap. The fact that they came out really with no rust on them, very little rust, and pulled this off, who do you give the credit to? What's your take on that?
Well, I think they gave Minnesota a lot to think about. Minnesota's offense now has a lot to think about this week. You know, what was interesting, Steve, is my first question to Cameron Brate. Very first question. He's the first guy I went to on Sunday night. Were you as concerned as some of us about rust showing after that long layoff? He goes, Ira, we left the rust behind on Wednesday's practice. Now, that stunned me. I later found out from Clinton McDonald that Wednesday was particularly searing, heat particularly. And it really snapped the players back into reality. You know, after 6 days off, 6 days. I mean, you don't get that in the NFL. And they all of a sudden, they were back into football mode. They weren't sapped from the heat. They were woken up by the heat. And that Wednesday practice, a lot of guys pointed to it as a turning point to get them ready for Sunday. And when the game started, guys, they were ready. They were absolutely ready.
The thing about the defense, Ira, and Steve, I'm sure you figured this out, and it was pretty clear that, you know, they wanted Glenn in the throw. They're like, you know, they're not going to get a damn thing on us on the ground. We want Glenn in the throw. He throws 45, 50 times, great. We want him to throw. And that's exactly what happened. But to Steve's point, it was a little concerning how Glenning was dinking and dunking down the field, but when it came time to get the ball in the end zone, that's when he screwed up. But Glennon didn't have much trouble moving the ball through the air, that is. Not on the ground. They obviously had trouble. But it is a little like, uh-oh. Now, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. We'll talk about this on Thursday. But with Sam Bradford's status up in the air, the immortal Case Keenum, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucs do the same thing. We're not going to let Dalvin Cook beat us.
Now, but Steve, the Bucs were opportunistic also. We haven't addressed the takeaways. One of them came on special teams. Terrible decision by Tariq Cohn. Terrible.
Oh.
Why? That's a rookie. That's what a rookie does. He's trying to make a play, Lee.
I'm sorry. That's not a rookie mistake. A high school kid knows better than that. This guy's been through how many games, college and a pro, you know, including preseason?
What a gift wrap for the Bucs.
I can't cite that as rookie. That's just a high school kid knows better than that.
Now, guys, I got a question, and you got to straighten me out because I've been saying this for a while now.
Straighten you out.
Should I get off the Mike Evans bandwagon? I keep calling him the best player on this team. I'm willing to hear counter arguments. I don't hear anything from you boys.
Well, he hasn't taken any notes yet, so don't worry.
I think he's going to have an All Pro season. I didn't say Pro Bowl. I said All Pro. That means first or second team. There's only four wide receivers in the league that make that, and I wouldn't be shocked if he's first team. With all due respect to Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, whoever you want to name, Mike Evans is uncoverable, Mr. DeKemper. And what a smile he gave me in the locker room when I asked him, hey, are you already noticing stuff from having DeSean Jackson? Absolutely, Ira. I think they covered me with two guys snaps.
Uh-oh.
Ira, the smile was just because, A, you didn't ask him for any money or any food. That's why he was shocked. He couldn't believe it. That's how it goes. No, you're not out of line, Ira. Come on. Let's think about this logically. The guy is a fourth-year player. He's a great physical specimen in this league. He's an elite athlete in this league.
Uses his body extremely well.
Last year, he was targeted more than any other receiver. He's got great chemistry with his quarterback, and he's a great player. We're just not used to it. That's the thing. We're not used to great receivers.
And he doesn't drop the ball anymore, Lee. He doesn't drop the ball.
Well, that was Munkin's issue last year, and it was solved. I'll throw this at you, Ira. And I'm being very sincere when it says you're sincere in thinking Evans is first team all pro. I'm sincere about saying this. Name a wide receiver who has better footwork than Mike Evans. His footwork is incredible.
I tell you, Lee's got a lot going for him. And you know what I love about Evans? I think I mentioned on last week's podcast. I'll say it again. He did it again on Sunday. He does the push-off, and he knows how to do it. Mm. He knows how to do it. Every seven times he does it, he might get flagged once, but it lets him catch three balls that he wouldn't catch.
Sure.
He gets that separation. Steve, he's really his techniques are outstanding. His technique.
Yeah, and he's 24 years old. Easy to forget. You know, right in his prime. Still learning, still soaking in. Remember, he got a late start in college or out of high school as being a receiver, and he didn't exactly play in an offense that required him to be very precise in college. And so they say the sky's the limit. That stupid cliche, but that's really the case. I said here on the podcast before the season, I thought he was actually a guy that could challenge for a 2,000-yard season, at a mythical mark, you know, and maybe push that or, you know, have us talking about that in November. And I still think that. I mean, he came out yesterday and sort of had a typical Mike Evans day. No, nothing you thought was so special, but there it is, you know, 93 yards, 7 catches, touchdown.
That's 110 catches.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And by the way, I looked at the balance on the offense. I think they had 67 snaps, 34 runs, 33 passes. Dirk Cutter's got to love that.
Now, here's something that's interesting. As I kind of referenced before, we're watching a Channel 8 newscast in the background with audio, and they were interviewing Bucs fans, and the subtitle was, Bucs fans seek normalcy. Well, they want them to lose again? I don't understand what the implication is.
Come
there.
Come on, Channel 8, get your act together.
They do. They got Avery Cotton. They got their act together.
So, Ira, I know you always like an update. Based on the videos that were on social media and based on Justin Pulaski's podcast, the commish, and other people, actually another person that I talked to, the march, the official stick carrier march to the stadium, into the stadium, police assisted and escorted well over 1,000 people marching in together. So very exciting. I think it made a little bit of a difference. And I know it was definitely contagious. You had people jumping on. What's this? Quite a spectacle. So
that's the southwest corner, cool. I believe, Steve. Southwest corner, section 119. Especially.
Well, again, most of the stick carriers don't sit there. It's just sort of like an unofficial official section. And, of course, not everybody can pile into a section. If you have to have need to have a ticket to go into a section even before the game. But they were lined up on the concourse and
Steve,
some good stuff.
I hear from my sources that tickets for the next home game, which will be the Giants, are going to be scarce. So if you don't have one, don't wait too long because that game is either sold out or close to being a sellout.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So, Ira, let's move on in the offense and let's transition over to Jameis. And the only reason I think this is noteworthy, the only reason whatsoever, is because last week Todd Monken told us that Jameis, his number one improvement is the deep ball. Todd Monken said, without question, Jameis, deep ball, deep ball. Well, yesterday we saw Jameis miss on three home run shots, two to DeSean Jackson, one to Charles Sims. All three times they were open. Receivers were a good yard open. Your take on that?
I thought Winston was okay, Lee. I only give him an okay. I didn't think he was exceptional. I didn't remember them going deep three times. I was going to make a point where I was going to fault Cutter for not trying the deep ball enough to DeSean Jackson. But 0 for 3, I'm not impressed, and they didn't draw any flags on it either. You know me, Lee. I'm a proponent of that deep ball, especially when now that you got DeSean Jackson on your side. I want 5 or 6 a game.
I think
you're going to get a couple of flags.
One of those deep balls, I can't really blame anybody because it was like almost there. When I say almost, I'm talking about half a step away. You could argue, okay, Jameis missed him, but you could also argue DeSean Jackson, you know, if he turned around the right time, he could have caught
it. So they ruled Jackson out of bounds, right, Steve?
The middle of the one.
That wasn't a deep ball. Okay. But, that was actually just great defense. Jackson caught it, but the defender was right. Let's put it this way. If that play you're talking about happened to the Bucs, we'd be singing the praises of Vernon Hargraves and
right.
Or Brent Grimes. It was just good defense.
It was good coverage.
I hate to use the word rust because we've beaten that drum to death, but in training camp, Jameis and DeSean Jackson were hooking up daily. There was no issue there. I can only imagine that part of it had to do with time off. I'm maybe grasping at straws here. I'm not ready to push the panic button on the deep ball yet. And like I said, one of those deep balls was catchable. Like I said, you could argue, okay, Jameis overthrew him. You could also argue DeSean Jackson didn't run a crisp route. If he turned around at the right time, he could have. It was there for the taking.
The new guys on offense were a little bit quiet. Steve, O.J. Howard and Godwin.
Yeah, there were.
They predicted that with O.J.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a couple of throws to Godwin, totally out of sync. He and Jameis were totally out of sync. So that was to be expected, I guess. And he went to Howard once, one catch. So, I thought Howard would kind of have a quiet day. I don't know. I haven't seen the snap counts yet as we sit here recording. But on the offense, particularly, Ira, the running game. I heard some beat writers in town saying the Bucs didn't run the ball well. I hear a lot of fans thinking that the Bucs ran the ball terrible. I actually saw a lot of comments. They figured Doug Martin would have run for 150 yards on Sunday if he was here because he was so good last year. So, you got fans who are thinking Doug Martin is the 2015 guy. You got others think he's the 2016 guy. And you got some Bucs media, I think, looking at the running game thinking the same thing. Like, well, if Martin was there. But how did you think they ran the ball Sunday?
Well, look, this is not the Dallas Cowboys here, guys. I mean, I think if the Bucs run for 120, 130 every week, Lee, I think Dirk Cutter would be happy with that. Balanced offense, took a little pressure off Jameis. It'll help the play action. Peyton Barber, I think, was the most effective back. I think Jacquizz Rodgers was decent. And Charles Sims was back to dancing bear, which is a problem. And based on what I'm getting from the comments from Buck fans, there's not a lot of Charles Sims fans out there right now. And you got to stop killing me over this.
I know you always bring up, he made a catch against Atlanta. Great. What did he do the rest of the
year? Now, wait a minute. Isbeth says he was open on a deep ball, and we'd be singing his praises if Winston would have hit him.
I'm just not a Chris Sims guy. He's a wide receiver.
Charles Sims.
What did I say? Yeah. Chris Sims?
Charles Sims.
I would call him Chucky Sims. He's a glorified slot receiver. He's not a running back. I wrote about this on JoeBucksFan.com Monday morning. You know, it's like Mark Dominic crowing about how Michael Clayton can block. Well, he's a wide receiver. He's supposed to catch the frickin' ball.
I think the running game got better as the game went on, Steve. I didn't think it was very good in the first quarter. I thought it was slow starting.
Well, a couple things, Ira. First of all, so just to roll it out there, Peyton Barber and Jaquizz Rodgers, they combined for 29 carries, 114 yards. That's 3.93 yards a carry. That's good. That's good NFL running of the football on pure numbers. And the running game got better as the Bears knew the Bucs were going to run the ball. They're up by 20-something points. So
Barber brought a little juice.
Barber brought some juice. The offensive line was winning. And I don't know. I thought they ran the ball well. Am I missing something here?
What'd they finish as a team, rushing?
Charles Sims had 2 carries for 2 yards.
Okay.
And as I said on my podcast, Ira, Monday Morning Joe, I can't blame Charles Sims for Dirk Cutter handing him the ball on 3rd and 1, running up the middle, because that's as dumb as giving a kid a pile of matches and some kerosene. It's stupid. Charles Sims can't do that. So why did Cutter hand it to him? And, of course, Sims got no yards. And his one other carry, I couldn't tell if he was starting to dance or he just slipped, but he got 2 yards, and that was that. So,
hey, guys, I want to talk about a tactic, Steve and Lee. Near the end of the half, I thought it was significant. I'm in the press box. I'm in row 2. The Kemper's in row 1 in front of me. And the Kemper, I believe, had a crawler in his hand. And it was his 3rd of the day, Javier, in case you're listening. I want you to get him on that. But anyway, I believe there was 2 minutes left. The score was 23-0. 23-0. The Bears were at midfield, 4th and 2. Here comes John Fox bringing in the punt unit. Here we go, gentlemen, bring in the punt unit. I'm over there. I'm saying to Fred Goodall, anybody who will listen to me in the press box, what the hell's Fox doing? That's a giant white flag. We're done. We're out of here. Let's get on the bus.
What did Freddie say?
I couldn't believe it. Oh, Goodall, he's looking at me. He goes, boy, that's a strange call.
I thought the same thing.
It showed no confidence. Zero confidence.
I thought the same thing.
And on the flip side, Cutter doesn't sit on the ball like he might have done in year 1. He's learned his lesson. Up 23-0. They go out and get 3 more points. That makes Fox's decision even worse.
Yeah.
Caught some 3. I don't know what Fox was doing out there yesterday, but he's on a short leash, Mr. Isbitz, and it's getting very
They're getting
short.
Fed up in Chicago with him. They are.
Oh, boy.
I mean, when Hub Arkush is starting
Hub
to
wonder. Hub Arkush turning on him?
Yeah, that's bad news, man.
Boy.
I thought the very same thing, and I'm not going to say the gentleman's name, but he was sitting to my right, and longtime Bucks beat guy, and he shot me down when I said that. He's like, no. He goes, the game's over with. If you don't want to set it up for another score for the Bucks. I'm like, they're down 3 scores at halftime here. You got the ball at midfield. Don't do it, Lovey. You might be able to crawl back in this game.
You're not at your own 8-yard line.
Yeah, yeah. It's midfield. The only thing you need is a first down. You're in field goal range. And he's like, no, you're killing yourself if you do it here. And I was thinking like you, Ira, I was thinking like you. It's like
23-0. You got to roll the dice a little bit.
Yeah, you're down 3 scores.
I thought it was a great culture change moment by Cutter. 64 seconds left. The Bucs got that ball back. And for him to put Jameis in the shotgun on first down and throw 20 yards down the field.
And up 23 zip.
And to throw an out route to Jackson and get out of bounds. I mean, I cried, Ira. I cried. I cried.
Haven't cried since your dog begged for a bone that day, Steven.
No, I'm serious because that was just a whole culture change of the Buccaneers football.
What a change from other coaches like, we don't want to score here.
Exactly. And
those decisions help you win games right near the end of the first
it's
half.
It's called being aggressive.
And it changes very quickly.
Well, I liked it most because you know what? Any coach can take a knee there. No one's going to cry. But you know what? Next week in Minnesota, maybe the Bucs are in that same position and they're down 9-6. And they want to go get 3 points because it's a game. Well, what better way to do that than to practice it up 23-0? So I like the whole mindset. It was pretty good. All right, Ira, before I take you in a different direction, I know Lee had a comment about the running game, so let her rip, Lee.
The only guy that impressed me was Peyton Barber. This guy needs to get the ball more. I remember against Kansas City, your pride and joy, Ira, at Kansas City, he did quite well coming off the bench. He did quite well coming off the bench yesterday, better than Chucky Sims, I'll say that. This guy needs to get the ball. Now, with Jaquizz Rodgers, I thought it was a bunch of meh. Now, what I mean by that is, just to clarify, he didn't impress me. He did not unimpress me.
He got what was there.
But to me, he ran like the running back that he is. He's a backup. He's a guy that couldn't make the putrid Bears. Yeah, he's not Emmitt Smith. He's not Zeke Elliott. He's not Warrick Dunn. He's a serviceable backup. And that's what the Bucs got out of him, a serviceable backup results. I thought he was a bunch of man. I know you were impressed with him, Steve. I just thought, eh.
Steve, have you noticed every time Cutter's asked, and he was asked on Sunday night, every time somebody brings up the name Peyton Barber, Cutter lavishes a lot of praise. He goes out of his way. He does everything we ask him to do, and he does it well. This guy's really grown on Cutter. And if you want to have one fan, yeah, it's the head coach.
Yeah,
Cutter likes Peyton Barber.
Yeah, he acts like Charles Sims is Barry Sanders II.
I think he's called him the most improved player on the team.
You know, he goes from saying one of them to the most improved, whatever. But, yeah, he clearly likes him. And obviously, you know, Barber came into the league last year. He's a Cutter guy. Cutter was a rookie head coach. Barber comes in, undrafted free agent. But he also did take a little shot at Barber in his post-game press conference. He said that he was winded. He was out of gas.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
He said that about Godwin in training camp. He's out of gas.
He did. So, yeah. You know, you think about it. Barber came in. He didn't come in until the second half.
Yeah.
And what was he, out of gas after 8 carries? You know, but still, that's fine. Like everybody else, he's got to get his win. And maybe that's just Cutter sending a message that, hey, we need you to be a guy who can carry it 20 times in 2 weeks, so you better pick it up.
I talked to Marpet after the game, Steve. He wasn't thrilled with his effort, wasn't thrilled with his performance, loved the victory, loved the defense, thinks he can play a lot better than that. Look, it's a learning curve, Steve. We've said it on this podcast many times. I thought he was okay, Marpet. I thought he was okay.
Speaking of learning curve, Ira, I did, just in case anybody's wondering, I paid you your $20. I bet you last podcast.
It was a crumpled up bill, I'll say that. I don't know how long it's been in your pocket.
Hey, it pays the same.
Yeah, is it accepted by the Federal Reserve?
We wagered. I took the Saints +7, and New England went in there and won by 16. So I lost, and I hope you enjoy yourself.
And so what did we learn? We learned the same old Saints. Same old. I feel bad for Drew Brees. I do. What a great player. And he's trying to win 38-35 every week. You can't do it.
Dude's got a ring. I can't cry in my pillow about Drew Brees. But Sean Payton is, I mean, when you go 0-2 in the NFL these days, that's pretty much a guarantee you're going to have a losing record. How does he survive? If they have a losing season this year, which it looks like they will have, four of the last 5 years he's had a losing season. I get it. He won a Super Bowl for the team. But, hey, Gruden got fired for winning seasons.
Somebody brought up a decent point. Their offense is so good that they win 7 games, I believe 3 years in a row. This year they might win 6 or 7 games. So they don't get the fourth pick in the draft where you might be able to get the best defensive player.
Yeah.
They get the fifth best defensive player. And at that point, there might be an offensive guy who's better than that guy. So they take the offensive guy. So it's like they're running in circles over there because they're in the middle of the pack.
Well, also, and this is damning for Sean Payton, how many defensive coordinators he's had in five years? Defense doesn't improve. Yeah. At some point, it's not the defensive coordinator,
it's
the head coach.
Your Falcons look good Sunday night, Steve. Your Falcons look good.
Well, I think that the challenge with Sean Payton now is the offense hasn't looked good. That's what's going to get him fired if he's going to get fired. They scored 19 points against the Vikings. They scored 20 and only 7 in the second half yesterday against the Patriots at home. You can't do that. Sean Payton is there to score 32 points a game like he did last year.
Yeah.
And if you can lose doing that, all right, they can figure out he just needs help on the defense. But if they don't score a lot of points, then I don't know why you keep Sean Payton. And next week they've got Carolina, who's 2-0.
Carolina's defense looks very good.
They haven't allowed a touchdown yet, and they're 2-0. So that's going to be a real interesting situation there. I hate to root for Carolina, but Carolina can knock out the Saints almost send them 0-3.
You should be thinking that way because now you're thinking about the Bucks not finishing last in the NFC South. Don't be a hater.
No, I'm
Steve.
Not thinking like
Don't
that.
Be
they
a hater.
Finished. We were finished with that. That was last
Don't
year.
Don't worry about the Saints. The Saints aren't going to be a factor. From the man who said the Falcons are going to go 5-11 last year. I just want our listeners to remember that.
Funny, I was
and by
on.
By the way, I'm 2-0 in the fantasy league, Steve. 2-0.
2-0. That's good.
Send that out to Todd Wright.
Because I saw LaShawn McCoy had a crappy
he
day.
Had a crappy
so
day.
I
he did have a crappy day.
I figured you didn't do too well.
People were hounding you on Twitter about that.
Absolutely. Well, Travis Kelce came up strong. They got the Falcons defense, which is a pretty good defense, guys.
Well, you're undefeated, and that's all that counts.
Absolutely.
No bad victories. All right, Ira. With this Bucks team and where they are right now, we've talked about the linebackers. There wasn't much to talk about with the secondary, except for T.J. Ward, who came in, made his presence felt.
Wow.
And that was no accident. That was like, this is, hello, I'm T.J. Ward, and this is why I'm not Chris Conte and Keith Tandy. How long do you think before he's in there full-time as a starter? Where do you think that goes?
Well, I hearken back to an old Beatles hit, Lee, from your era. It won't be long. It was on one of the original early Beatles albums.
Little
Lennon McCartney tune, it won't be long. Everybody loves T.J. Ward. Mike Smith, Cutter,
Elway.
The other defensive players. He's a stud player. They're going to find a way. Well, what's the mantra? Get our best players on the field, right? We heard that with Sweezy and Marpet.
Mm-hmm.
That was the driving force. You're going to hear the same thing on defense. Get our best players on the field. T.J. Ward's going to be one of their best defensive players. You're going to see a lot of them, Steve.
But when? That's the key. Now, Cutter was on Sirius NFL Radio Friday night, and he said it's going to be a while before he learns his defense. But Steve used the perfect word, perfect adjective.
Steve had a vocabulary?
He had the perfect adjective when he said his presence was felt. Something tells me Tarik Cohen is feeling T.J. Ward this morning.
Yeah,
Monday morning.
He dropped them good.
Ooh, he dropped the hammer on that guy.
Short pause, of course, to appreciate Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com.
I'm still in mourning that the Italian feast was discontinued.
It will be. It will come back.
Hurricane Irma, I understand.
Hurricane Irma knocked out the Italian Street Festival at Ed Morris, Alfa Romeo, and Brandon. Don't worry, Ira. The free food will be back for you again.
The Kaufmans were coming out in force. We weren't going to eat for 3 days leading up to that. I was going to be ready.
You were going home with Irma provisions. Yeah, plastic bags, everything. All right, Ira. Any other sage pearls that you feel need to be talked about out of this game?
Well, I just think going forward this week, and we're going to do another podcast shortly, we're going to talk about the Buck mindset because I think that's the next phase of how do you handle a smashing victory in week one and not let it go to your head because you don't have to go any further than last year, Lee. They didn't handle it well. And I think this is a more mature team. We're about to find out.
Well, Monday I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com. I always like to pitch our stories on JoeBucksFan.
Like
DeMar Dotson, I talked with him quite a bit Sunday night. And he was saying that's a big emphasis. Like, Steve broke the story.
He talked
to DeMar last year after Arizona when he basically said they thought this game was won. A lot of players did. He knew better. And he said that's the big mindset right now. Like, we screwed up at Arizona because we had the game won. We don't have anything won. This is baloney. And he told me that there was no victory Monday. And he said, coming in Monday, it's Minnesota.
As far as we know, Light didn't jump into his pool, Steven.
He retired that routine. We have no video of that.
Yeah, he retired that a while ago, saying it would only be for a special occasion.
Wait a minute. He retired it, and then the next win, he did it again, I believe.
Well, he explained that, actually.
I think his kids talked him into it.
Yeah, it was a kid thing. But, I don't think we'll see that again until they make the playoffs. That's when I think it'll come. All right, Ira, you look.
I got a pool. I jumped in after the Jacksonville preseason victory. That's how low my standards are.
Were you clothed?
With a cocktail?
I hope you
were
clothed. Clothed.
Get out of here, Isbeth.
Just your Ed Moore shirt. All right, Kaufman, get out of here.